Blackdown is the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today.
173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The fight by homosexuals for the right to marry has taken two major hits. One in New York, where the state's highest court rules gay marriage is not possible under state law.
Our commitment is no different than anyone else who's married, and all we're looking for is the ability to receive the protections under the law that we feel that we deserve.
Regina Cacchetti wanted to marry Susan Zimmer. Matt Daniels at the Alliance for Marriage says it's a good thing they can't.
Most Americans believe that gays and lesbians are free to live as they choose, but they don't have a right to redefine marriage for our entire society through the courts.
And in Georgia, the state Supreme Court has ruled the legality of the ban on gay marriage there will be held up. 45 states have outlawed gay marriage, though a handful do allow civil unions. Huge court case in Florida. The state Supreme Court rules there the class action damage award against big tobacco should never have happened. University of California professor Stanton Glantz.
This is a big win for big tobacco, and it's a real defeat for the public interest and the public health.
Tobacco industry celebrates the overturning of the $145 billion damage award and the increase in stock values in today's trading that quickly followed. A not guilty plea today in Louisville, Kentucky for the soldier facing charges of rape and murder in Mahmoudia, Iraq. He's already been discharged from the Army. The trial is expected in civilian court near Fort Campbell, Kentucky. The official count of the presidential election in Mexico leaves the ruling party in power.
It's because of Mexico's history that this is so significant. They've just never had a race come down to the wire. People have never had to stay up all night for election nights and watch the results coming in. All of this is brand new here, and a lot of people just don't know what to make of it. So some people think, well, there must be a fraud, just like the old days.
CBS's Adrian Bard says the leftist rival plans to challenge the results in court. Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it is the space shuttle, married for a few days to the space station.
Contact confirmed.
There wasn't a lot of conversation as the space station crew eyeballed Discovery during its approach.
It's boring to us that it's quiet, but that's a good thing. That means everything's going well.
Lead flight director Tony Sakaji says engineers are looking over the pictures the station crew shot, then downlinked, along with data from yesterday's in-flight heat shield inspection.
Right now, there's no concerns.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
One of the few 72-year-old women who can wear diamond earrings and look great doing it. When diamonds are all she's wearing, Sophia Loren will be on next year's Pirelli Tires calendar. That calendar has a near cult-like following with its annual array of international stars in their birthday suits. Among the others in the works this year, Penelope Cruz, Naomi Watts, and Hilary Swank. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 74 points. Nasdaq picked up almost 2 points on the day. This is CBS News.
Real pirates aren't A-list actors.
They're trained killers.
Real pirates don't sip lattes.
They are hyper-violent. I mean, terrifying.
Real pirates don't stab you in the back. They stab you in the front. True Caribbean Pirates. Before Hollywood came calling. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central. As only the History Channel can bring you.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
street gangs are going high-tech, too.
Notorious street gangs, including the Crips and the Bloods, MS-13 and 18th Street, have staked out corners of cyberspace. A lot of photos, members holding guns, taunts, colors, and graffiti tags. But the audience isn't only gangbangers and wannabes, but law enforcement, mining these sites for the intel they offer. Chicago police recently arrested a graffiti artist after he posted his work and name and address on MySpace. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
A clue into the mind of Palestinian militants through fashion. In the Gaza Strip, it's a common sight. Militants waving a Hamas flag, wearing a green Hamas headband, thrusting an AK-47 into the air, and wearing U.S. Army fatigue shirt, complete with accurate patches. One of them, Bassem Shora, explained, "The U.S. Army is powerful, and American military clothing is hot fashion because it shows strength and determination. The Palestinian fashion statement of strength is American." Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, I'm president of the Science Fiction Club.
Oh, fantastic.
We are armed and ready for the invasion.
Okay, now just be careful. Invaders, like roaches, can carry germs and diseases.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if only I had a Silurian photon blaster.
I know, but at Orkin, we prefer baits with gels. We've been fighting invasions for over 100 years.
Oh, wait till I tell the other warlords.
Just teleport carefully.
Protect your home, protect your family. Orkin can help. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Welcome, friends, to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live, we're unscripted, we're unrehearsed. We originate on the left coast. And we're monitored on a daily basis by the National Security Administration. Benny, what's up? On the Peter B. Collins Show today, we're going to get a report on the U.S. propaganda machinery in the Middle East, a TV station called Al Hura, and a radio service called Radio Sawa. Magdi Khalil used to work for Al Hura. He'll tell us the inside story and how your taxpayer dollars are just being thrown out into the desert there in so many cases. Also on today's program, a powerful new documentary film called Soldiers Speak Out. And its producers, Barbara Trent and David Casper, have won Academy Awards for their previous work. Also on today's show, Sibelle Edmonds, a whistleblower in her own right, a brave Turkish-American. She's a co-founder of the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. She'll be joining us to talk about that unusual congressional subpoena that has been issued to one Donald Rumsfeld, requiring him to produce documents and information related to the Abu Ghraib prison scandals. And for some reason, Rummy just hasn't been cooperating, so they had to go to the next step. We'll talk with Sibelle about that coming up. And as usual, in our third hour, we open up the phones in the free speech zone to talk with you. And you can call this program whenever the urge strikes you, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And however you decide to get in touch, I appreciate your communication. People send me a lot of great information by email, and that's something that helps me share it with our listening audience. Every week, we check in with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, published out of the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And you can get your own copy delivered free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org. Hello, Faz.
Hey, Peter. How was your 4th of July?
Oh, it was great. You know, we had six-packs on the beach, And then we had a six-pack of missiles launched from North Korea. It was kind of symmetrical. You know, at the very time that we launched a space shuttle in Florida, Kim Jong-il had his hair done and launched a Taipodong 2.
Yeah, we had a little bit of fireworks North Korean style, and yeah. I don't think theirs were as successful as ours were, at least in Washington, D.C. We had quite a show, and I think that North Korea is a bit disappointed with its fireworks show.
Now, first and foremost, have the floodwaters receded, and are you back on terra firma?
You know, they have receded. We went through a stretch where it was very warm, and now, for some reason, the rain is coming back. I guess that some reason may have something to do with global warming.
No.
All you
got to do is check into the Competitive Enterprise Institute. They'll straighten you out in about 20 minutes and get you a free tank of gas.
It's a natural cycle, right?
Right, yeah. Well, Faz, let's talk about the showdown with Korea, because after a lot of saber-rattling, and in my view, the U.S. treatment of this tended to heighten concern, heighten interest, and play to the very needs of Kim Jong-il. He's a spoiled little brat who wants our attention. And while we pretend to be denying him attention, saying no bilateral talks, you got to do the six-way talks, truly, our media and our government put a spotlight on North Korea. In my view, it was partly to distract us from the nasty business in Iraq and the failings of our own administration. But I really think they played into his hands in most respects.
You've nailed it on the head. And I think that the media has been spinning it so far as a loss for Kim Jong-il. And I think President Bush even came out yesterday and said that this was a failed effort by him. But, of course, just to look at the missile test is a very narrow point of view. What you should be looking at here is what was Kim Jong-il trying to accomplish. And I think you're right that he was trying to change the dynamics of the negotiations, put himself in a bit of a higher position, and also indicate to the rest of the world that you really have very little options against me right now. I'm the one who's pulling the strings here. And I think if you view it from that perspective, it was a win for him, a political win. So I think all this focus right now on the missile test is a bit short-sighted.
Well, and I go back to David Frum and the line that he inserted in, I believe it was the 02 State of the Union message, which proclaimed rhetoric in advance of policy, the so-called axis of evil. And they named North Korea on a par with Iran and Iraq, and elevated the stature of this little fellow and his desires to a threat, you know, of worldwide proportion. And to me, that was the beginning of the bad policy the Bush administration has embraced related to North Korea.
Right, and if you just go back maybe 4 or 5 years before that, you'll remember that the Clinton administration was making great headground and establishing relations with North Korea. No longer were they kind of isolated outcasts. Madeleine Albright had actually visited there, met with their diplomats, and so we were starting to form some sort of agreement where they would step away from their nuclear program, or at least that was the hope. And so when the Bush administration came into office, they, of course, thought that this was appeasing North Korea. They dropped all negotiations, and then they got caught in this bind where they felt like they weren't sure whether they wanted to just stop the nuclear program or go all out and call for complete regime change. And, of course, that 2002 Axis of Evil statement seemed to be a step in saying, we want full regime change. And as long as that was the issue, North Korea will not negotiate on those terms because, of course, the only thing they're looking for is diplomatic relations and recognition that they are a member of the international community from the United States. And the Bush administration is now caught in this game, and they haven't made any progress. Meanwhile, North Korea is making all kinds of progress in its nuclear program.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the phrase is, we threw down the gauntlet by naming them and, again, in my estimation, elevating the level of risk. And this is not to say, I don't want to leave the impression that I don't have concerns about North Korea. But my concerns mainly relate to the safety of South Korea and the intention of Kim Jong-il to make life miserable for South Koreans. He's certainly succeeded in doing it for North Koreans. And so I don't mean to dismiss that. At the same time, I do think that the Bush administration magnified the threat for its own domestic political needs.
That's right. I do agree that they were trying to shift the eye off the ball from Iraq, and particularly these new allegations surrounding a rape and Mahmoudia. And these are very bad sorts of subjects for them to discuss. So they, of course, would like to talk about North Korea. And I think you've also hit on something about, you know, North Korea not being an immediate concern. But if you look down the road, where is this heading? Increasingly, it looks like it's going to be a concern for us. And the Washington Post had a great meta article today about the failures of the Bush administration's worldview on foreign policy and how Afghanistan has become a worse issue. Egypt, and it went around the world, North Korea. Everything is becoming worse, and these are issues that are going to have to be resolved, the Washington Post writes, by Bush's successor. He's going to leave these issues in a worse position than that which he acquired them in. And so I do have some concerns about where this is all heading, not about the concerns right at this moment.
Mm-hmm. And in today's progress report, you have a juicy full-spin quote from my favorite diplomat, John Bolton, our temporary U.S. ambassador. The clock's running. I think he has to leave by the time of the next Senate term in January. Your quote from him, that it was just such a fabulous success. I think that what North Korea did yesterday shows the wisdom and leadership that President Bush displayed in 01 in moving beyond the 1972 ABM Treaty and relieving us from the antiquated restraints of that treaty and of his efforts to develop an effective limited missile defense system. I think we've been on the right course, clearly, for the last 6 years. Oh, wow.
I mean, let's just you mentioned earlier, let's just look at the axis of evil. If that's how they want to be judged, just take a look at those three countries. Look at Iran, look at North Korea, and look at Iraq. All of them are far greater threats to us now than they were in 2002 and 2000. You know, so I don't know how he can claim success there. And, of course, they're looking to do away with the ABM treaty and the NPT treaty and all these treaties. They are just binding his hands. So, of course, the liberal approach of wanting to work with other nations to address these threats is somehow antiquated.
Yeah, we want to throw off the yoke of the ABM treaty and the non-proliferation treaties while we make side deals with India that produce jealousy from Iran, North Korea, and anybody else who has a desire to have a nuclear weapon. And we really don't seem to sense the big picture here about how inconsistent our policies are and how they tend to encourage somebody like Kim Jong-il to prove his nuclear manhood, if you will.
If they were being consistent, what they would be saying right now is we need to go and wipe those missiles off of North Korea's land there. They would go in for a, quote, preemptive strike, right, because that's the argument that they offered for Iraq. And so I think they're smarter here about not doing that because we know what that's going to lead to. But like you said, they don't have a stronger articulation. They don't have a consistent, cogent explanation for what they're trying to accomplish here, and we're all left to wonder, where is this all heading?
More in a moment with Faz Shakir. Get your own progress report. Log on to progressreport.org. In the next segment, we'll talk about big companies getting small business loans. And we'll also talk about Ann Coulter, because it's just an irresistible target. That's coming up next as we continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
It is useless to resist us.
That would make me irresistible in so many cases. I am your humble host, Peter B. They call it the Peter B. Collins Show. How about that? We continue debriefing Faz Shakir because he knows more than we do. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. Get it for yourself. ProgressReport.org. And up next here, Faz, I learned so much when I read the Progress Report. We have major corporations accessing the Small Business Administration and, exploiting what they offer?
Yeah, well, one of the issues here at the Small Business Administration is how they're accounting for the contracts that they're giving out. According to the SBA administrator, a guy named Hector Barreto, he's saying that the Small Business Administration is meeting all of its goals. All the contracts are being doled out at a rate that they had expected it. And what the New York Times reports today is that they're meeting their goals because they're counting their contracts awarded to large corporations as small business loans.
So we've got itty-bitty companies like General Dynamics, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, and let's see, you cite that Northrop has 121 contracts, Boeing has 37.
Yeah.
They every business was small once.
Yeah, I mean, and we, of course, we're well aware that the Bush administration has a penchant for dealing with large corporations. I just watched Why We Fight the other night, which gives a good accounting of the impact of large corporations on the military-industrial complex today. And it was interesting that the SBA, Office of Inspector General, said that the problem of these large corporations being counted as small businesses is now, quote, one of the most serious management challenges facing the agency this year. So that tells you to the what extent this kind of practice is going on.
Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for those little big companies and what they have to do to squeeze money out of the taxpayer accounts. Well, the next item up here is a shocking allegation that Ann Coulter, the broad from the far right, actually may have plagiarized some of the information in her books, including her most recent book, Godless, the Church of Liberalism. Faz, let's get in the mood for an Ann Coulter encounter.
We'll be right back. But first, this report from Mother Jones Magazine's Maury Meniscus. Oh, take it away, Maury. Here we go.
And now, Maury's Minute, featuring the journalist who's never been censured by the Senate, Maury Meniscus. That's me. Dateline, secret wiretapping. It's tearing the nation apart. Senator Russ Feingold asked to appear here on the Minute, but we decided that instead of going straight to the source, we'd rather have two pundits argue. On the right, we've got celebrated conservative commentator Ann Coulter.
Hello, Maury.
And on the left, we've got a monkey. Let's get right to the topic. Is illegal secret wiretapping illegal?
He's just grandstanding and politicizing. We should send the simian liberal to North Korea and nuke him.
So you're saying it's not illegal, Anne?
I'm saying if it were up to traitors like him, Saddam Hussein would be in the White House. Oh, so you don't want the government listening in on your phone calls. What are you afraid they might hear, you little monkey?
The right to privacy's not important.
Listen, it's monkeys like him who are trying to hand out nuclear weapons like candy to terrorists.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand a word he's saying.
Any non-brain-dead human would find his liberal nonsense hard to understand.
No, I mean I don't speak monkey.
That surrender monkey might as well be speaking French.
Oh, hey, Anne, put that flamethrower down!
Eat fire, you damn dirty ape!
I guess this wasn't such a fair debate, since one side was represented by a ranting primate. But I'm tapped out on the subject, so it's good enough for me. Until next time, reach out and touch someone appropriately, America.
That's Maury Meniscus from Mother Jones Magazine. And a great setup to talk about Ann Coulter. And Faz, there's an allegation that she may have purloined some of her hot prose?
Right. This gentleman by the name of John Barry, he has a plagiarism recognition system. And the New York Post writes today that this system has recognized at least three instances of textbook plagiarism in Ann Coulter's book, Godless. So, and this
Didn't she have Pat Robertson's permission to use it?
Well, I'm sure that she can justify it in some fashion, and we're waiting for it. But so there's now an effort on many on the left to go and talk to the editors who run her columns all across the country and ask them what they think of this. And one gentleman at TPM Muckraker contacted the United Press Syndicate and asked whether they were going to pull her columns down, and they weren't yet committed to doing that. But there is another one out in Shreveport, Louisiana, an editor out there who says that he is considering pulling Coulter's column down.
To make room for Michelle Malkin?
Perhaps. He did say that he would consider replacing her with another conservative. So, yeah, it might be Michelle Malkin.
Yeah. Well, you may know, too, that she's embroiled in a case in Florida where she's accused of improperly registering to vote where she doesn't actually live.
Yeah, I do remember that from a couple weeks back. And, I like that skit there because I think one of our issues with Ann Coulter is she's considered such a legitimate source from the perspective of the mainstream media, and no matter what she says, how outrageous they may be, consider the recent case where she blasted the 9/11 widows, and she really felt no blowback from the mainstream media. She continues to go on to the Tonight Show and all kinds of other CNN, MSNBC. She's on there all the time, no matter what she says. Nothing is too outlandish for the mainstream media to invite her back on.
Yeah, bring us a little shock in a blonde package. It tests really well in the focus groups.
Yeah, and consider somebody from the left having an equally kind of out of the mainstream view to the same proportion that she is to the right. And you know what we're called, or people like that are called. We're just crazy left wing nuts.
Well, they call you Michael Moore.
That's right.
He's
right.
The goalpost for them, on the far left, and that's right. What they like to use to marginalize anybody who speaks up and speaks out.
And the bloggers and Move On and all those guys, yep.
Right. Thank you for your work. Give my best to the rest of the team. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Peter.
Faz Shakir, Progress Report, Center for American Progress. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the American propaganda machine in the Middle East. The television service is called Al Hurra, and the radio service, Radio Sawa. Magdi Khalil will join us next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Email me, Peter at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly. ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Yeah, I think that's Radio Sawa. Most Americans don't know it, but your taxpayer dollars fund some propaganda machinery in the Middle East. a television service on satellite TV called Al Hura, and a radio service called Radio Sawa. They've been in operation for a couple of years now. And let's check on their progress. Magdi Khalil joins us on the telephone this afternoon from the Washington, D.C. area. Magdi, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate your coming forward. Give us a little background on yourself and your relationship with these two U.S. communications arms that I call propaganda machines.
Yes. Really, in March 2004, the United States launched the Arabic language satellite network, Al Hura.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest project in the Middle East since the Voice of America 1942.
Right.
But I think the taxpayer money in United States well invested in is not well invested. It's bad investment for our taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. And give us a quick sketch of the scope of these services. Al Hura is a satellite television network, so anybody with a proper dish in any part of the Middle East can capture that signal, but the critical thing is they have to know about it and they have to want to watch it.
Yes, yes. It's available for the Middle Eastern people and now in Europe. But the problem, the first few months after launching Al Hura in March 2004, the criticism of Al Hura is a little bit encourage the people to watch the TV. But now it looks like it not exists.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very poor, pouring pale.
So it's a weak service, particularly as compared with Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya.
Very weak. It's out of competition.
Mm-hmm.
Very weak service. It's because this is a lot of reasons behind this this weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Corruption, lack of professionals. Lack of transparency, infiltrated by Arab intelligence, a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote three articles and one paper about Al Hura, and I hope somebody in American administration or Congress read this article and discuss the conclusion, how mm-hmm. to reform Al Hura, because we need to reform the Middle East to promote democracy to the Middle Eastern people. First, we need to reform Al Hura TV.
Mm-hmm. Now, Magdi, I've read your piece, and I'm fascinated by it. A couple of things. One is, you seem to embrace the idea of an American-sponsored television service in the Middle East as a way of presenting our viewpoint and hopefully winning the proverbial hearts and minds of the residents of these Arab nations. On the other hand, you seem to be sharply critical of the way it has been managed to date, with cronyism, punches being pulled, even though they pretend or they tell us that this is a free, uncensored service that is intended to provide reliable information to
yes.
the populations in the target countries. So is this correct that you embrace the concept, but you're
yes.
highly critical of the way it has been managed
yes.
to date?
Yes, sure. Sure, because we need really a strong satellite TV to the Middle Eastern people. This is the main tool for public diplomacy. But the way of how to deal with Al Hura, it's really the Arab teamwork. It's really I just ask something. Why the people in the Middle East watch CNN and they don't watch Al Hura?
Mm-hmm.
And Al Hura in Arabic, and
mm-hmm.
CNN in English.
I see.
Because this is the CNN, highly professional, balanced news, comprehensive, a lot of things. But Al Hura is very weak, very, very pale. It's like local Lebanese channels.
Say that again. It's like local what?
Lebanese
channels. Yes.
Yeah, it's controlled by Shia Muslim in Lebanon, and some of them members in Hezbollah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Magdi, one of the things that let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up during the Cold War. And I had a shortwave radio, I think, starting about the age of 9.
Yes.
And I used to listen.
Radio Europe.
I used to listen to Radio Moscow, yes. To Radio Havana.
Yes, it's good. It was good, very good projects.
Well, it was very interesting, but
yes.
I always knew that they were telling me what they wanted me to hear, not necessarily the truth. So I listened out of curiosity. But I never believed what I heard on Radio Havana or Radio Moscow. And is this part of the problem? Is Al-Hura so identified with the U.S. government and the Bush administration that people dismiss it out of hand, saying, well, we can't expect them to tell us what's really going on?
Yes, really. There is a difference between Radio Europe, for example, and Al-Hura. Radio Europe, we established Radio Europe after Helsinki Commission, after agreement of Helsinki.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a vision how to deal with the Eastern Europe. Now we just established the horror and the left in the hands of Arabs. So it's a big difference. Now, Al-Hurra looks like the Middle Eastern states we wanted to change. So it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We need something controlled by Americans, by American professionals, by really behind this work we need vision. There is visionless, just Timur came from Lebanon and from Hezbollah and from Egypt, from Syria. There is no. They came here with the, after establishing Al-Hurra.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a strong links with the Arab intelligence. With the really is not good project till now.
Well, I understand that criticism.
We need to evaluate this project after 3 years and around. 2 years and a half, we need a real evaluation for this project. We invested $280 million from the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to evaluate this project.
Now, I do understand and I accept your criticism that it is skewed, particularly to a Lebanese perspective. However, if the perspective is official government information out of Washington, simply a mouthpiece for the Bush administration, how would that be an improvement, Magdi?
No, we didn't speak about Bush administration or not. We speak about American values.
Mm-hmm.
We need to promote American values to the Middle Eastern, the real American values like democracy, freedoms, religious freedom. We need Al-Hurra voice for voiceless people in the Middle East, support reformers, support democracy, support minorities, support women's rights.
That's my point, Magdi, is that our government will not permit honest coverage of Saudi Arabia, of Kuwait,
yes.
Where there was just an election,
sure.
Where women ran, and, you know, there was an opportunity for some real revolutionary change there. But our government is so conflicted in its various dealings with
sure.
The hardline autocratic nations that
yes.
We will not permit honest reporting about the Saudi regime. We will not permit honest reporting about AQ Khan and the Pakistani role
sure.
In the proliferation of nuclear technology.
100% I agree with you. There is, do you know, the centers of international Islamism. There is 3 centers in the one, Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
There is no coverage for this, the international Islamism, for example. Ask the people who work in Al-Hurra. Did they cover anything about international Islamism? About the dangers of terrorism? About Saudi Arabia, what happened inside Saudi Arabia? About the education system in Egypt and Saudi Arabia against West?
Mm-hmm.
We still work. If you read, the, for example, Nina Shea for Freedom House about what educational system in Saudi Arabia, it's really against human rights. It's really against human civilization. But the Hurra, it's absent. Completely absence.
Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, just to help our listeners, Al-Hurra is Arabic for the free one, right?
Yes. In Arabic, the free one. Mm-hmm. But it's not free. It's really controlled by by Arabs.
Maggie, we need to go to...
Before Al-Hurra, I wrote an article, and I warned the Egyptian, the U.S. administration and the Congress that a lot of foreign broadcasting controlled by Arab intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And I warned them to hiring something came from Middle East direct to here. And there is a lot of people, a lot of Arab Americans here. They can manage Al-Hurra very good, and they believe in American values, and they believe in American as homeland, something
mm-hmm.
like this.
Well, the problem is, and I don't mean to be unfair or rude to you in any way, Magdi, but, you know, our government mouths those ideas about freedom and liberty and freedom of speech and freedom of expression, but we don't believe that they believe it. And so as expressed through these media organs, we kind of have two ugly choices. One is the status quo, which you have sharply critiqued, and I accept your criticism. And the other is that if we moved in the direction you're suggesting, that it would simply become an extension of the White House press office with only official statements and officially sanctioned news. So that's the conundrum that we face. Magdi, we have to take a break. We'll return in just a moment, so hang on. We'll talk more with Magdi Khalil. We're talking about the U.S. media organs in the Middle East, Al-Hurra and Radio Sawa. If you have a question or comment, you can join us right now. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or 1-888-579-2540 if you're calling from, say, Mecca. That's 888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Hello,
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hey, just give them some Disney, some Schwarzenegger movies, and some American propaganda. That'll free them, won't it? You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. We're talking about the American-funded broadcast facilities in the Middle East called Al Hura, the free one, and Radio Sawa. Magdi Khalil worked at Al Hura and has written a powerful critique of the first 2 years of operation of this taxpayer-funded service. And most Americans are completely unaware of this. There is a service or a functionary group in our government, a bureaucracy, that I believe is part of the State Department. It's called the Broadcast Board of Governors. And the chair of its Middle East committee is a guy named Norman Pattiz, P-A-T-T-I-Z. Norm Pattiz made a fortune in the radio business in this country. He was the founder of a syndication firm called Westwood One, and they've had many successful radio programs. And Bill Clinton put him on this broadcast board of governors, and President Bush held him over. In April of 2004, Magdi, Norm Pattiz came to the San Francisco area and gave a luncheon talk that I attended, and there was a Q&A period afterward. And our discussion took place just about a week or two after the first American siege of the town of Fallujah.
Yeah.
And I had commented because the coverage on CNN just blew me away. There was one point where Aaron Brown, the anchor on CNN, had a live feed with an American general in Qatar who was telling us that America at that time was not bombing Fallujah. And CNN accessed a live feed from Fallujah from Al Jazeera, which conclusively showed that bombing was underway at that very minute.
Sure.
Okay? And Aaron Brown accepted the general's representation that it was not happening. It must have been somebody else's Air Force that was bombing Fallujah at that time. So I recounted this episode that I had viewed to Norm Pattiz, and I asked him, how would Al Hura handle a situation like that? And he just looked at me and he said, straight up, we'd give him the facts. And I said, wait a minute. If CNN submits to our government's lies, how is a taxpayer-funded agency going to be any more independent? And his answer was, let's go to the next question.
Yes, sure. Yes, really, I want to say that we are not the voice of propaganda for U.S. administration. This channel and Radio Sawa and Hura financed by U.S. government. So it's supposed to support American values, not U.S. administration. So this is the thing of Mr. Pattiz. He put his faith in the Arab team, especially Muwafaq Harb. He is a friend of Pattiz.
And let's define who he is. Muwafaq Harb, H-A-R-B.
Yes.
And who is he?
He is a third-class journalist from the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really, everybody in the Middle East is surprised. Why Muwafaq Harb is not he's not professional enough to direct a big channel like Al Hurra.
And let's
ask Mr. Pattiz about his choice.
Well, next time I have an opportunity, if he doesn't say next question.
That's the problem. You ask about the coverage of Al-Hurra for the events in the Middle East. Really, completely absent. Completely absent, not only in Fallujah, but also you can visit White House here or State Department, and you see around you from Al Jazeera, from Al Arabiya, and nobody from Al Hurra.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if ask Harb, the budget, he have good budget, 80 million a year,
mm-hmm.
and over than 100,000 yearly for really high salaries for regarding the Middle Eastern salaries.
So the journalists get 100 grand?
Yeah, around 100,000 yearly.
Uh-huh. That's a lot of money. I
yeah,
could take
money,
a gig like
a lot
that.
Of money for the people. For, it's really not professional enough.
Now, let me cite a couple of the items that you list. There were 13 different points that you make about your differences with Mr. Harb, the man in charge of Al Hurra.
Yes.
You talk about the day the channel went on the air. Harb himself was on television and called Gaddafi a terrorist.
Yes.
That's going to win a lot of hearts and minds in the Middle East.
Yes, yes. This is the first day. And the first day of Al Hurra.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a member in Hezbollah, and he is from Shia, from South Lebanon. He have a problem with Gaddafi because the great imam disappeared in Libya.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what. So why we need somebody neutral, fair, objective news?
Magdi, you cite a case where he would not allow you to complete an episode about a phenomenon that most Americans don't know about, but you call it power inheritance, where, for example, the presidency can be passed from one Assad to another in Syria, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you prepared this whole report, and then Harb spiked it. He killed it. And did he explain why?
He didn't explain. He told me no. But why? I know why. Because he have good relations with the Arab administrations, Arab leaders. So he want to build bridges between him and the Arab leaders for the future, for his future, mm-hmm. not for United States. This is a problem. This is a problem. They have double language. He speaks to the American in one language and to the Arab leaders other language, or have deals under tables with them.
Mm-hmm.
So why we need to first to evaluate this channel and Radio Sawa, and second to reform. Third, to we need investigation. I'm not qualified to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
We need investigators.
Can I suggest that you send a copy of your article to Henry Waxman? He's a congressman from Los Angeles, and he does a lot of investigations into wasteful spending and bad government programs.
My pleasure.
Waxman is the guy's name.
Okay,
and
sure.
He's really good.
Tomorrow,
now, Magdi,
I will send.
Just about a minute remaining. Give us a quick sketch of Radio Sawa, where it's on the air and what kind of format it has.
Radio Sawa is just makes it songs, Western and the Middle Eastern songs.
So it's a music format.
Yeah, somebody told me from the Middle East is a good statement. If we send CD to everybody in the Middle East, it cost us less than the Radio Sawa. See what? Just some Western and the Middle East songs. We don't need this. And very weak news.
Now, does Radio Sawa have DJs who, you know, come on and give you a little happy, snappy patter and say, well, it's, 110 degrees in Baghdad today? Do they have DJs? Is that the kind of presentation?
DJs?
Yeah, disc jockeys on Radio Sawa.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, well, disc jockeys are the guys and girls who come on between the records and kind of tell jokes, tell you what time it is, tell you who the singer is.
Oh. As you know, the problem we talk about how to invest our money in the good way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really, really, I feel sad because we invested 280 million in not correct way.
Yeah.
We need,
well, Magdi, thank you for bringing this.
Investigation.
Thanks for bringing this to our attention. Is there a website where people can find your article?
At least can Google Magdi, M-A-G, as in Jordi, as in David I, K-H-A-L-I-L.
All right, very good.
You can find a lot of articles about the Middle Eastern and the West in
England. Great. Magdi Halil, thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A huge damage award in a smoking case is thrown out.
This is a big win for big tobacco.
What to do about North Korea?
I think we've got a plan for the worst and hope for the best.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was a big blow 6 years ago when a jury in Florida ordered cigarette makers to pay a total of $145 billion in punitive damages for misleading the public about the dangers of smoking. Today, Florida's Supreme Court said it agrees with the jury's finding but found the award excessive and threw it out.
This is a big win for big tobacco, and it's a real defeat for the public interest and the public health.
University of California professor Stanton Glantz is co-author of two anti-tobacco books, The Cigarette Papers and Tobacco War. David Howard is a spokesman for R.J. Reynolds.
We certainly are pleased that the court unanimously found that the $145 billion punitive damages award in the case violated not only due process, but it was excessive as a matter of law.
Tobacco company stocks soared today. Now this.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Yes, I'm asleep. Aches and pains used to keep me up all the time, but now new Advil PM is changing all that. If I was awake, I'd leap for joy, but I'm not. I'm asleep. See, new Advil PM combines the multi-pain-relieving power of Advil with a non-habit-forming sleep aid. Nothing's proven stronger on tough nighttime pain. I'd shout it from the hilltops, but I don't want to wake myself up.
New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Use only as directed.
President Bush was on the phone to the leaders of China and Russia today, urging a united front in dealing with North Korea, but Mr. Bush told reporters these things can't be rushed.
Diplomacy takes a while, particularly when you're dealing with a variety of partners.
I'm Cammie McCormick at the UN.
We think that it's important to have a strong signal.
While the president says diplomacy is the best option, the U.S. backs a proposal here that would impose sanctions on North Korea. China and Russia oppose sanctions. They want a more diplomatic approach. But U.S. Ambassador John Bolton doesn't think North Korea has indicated its willingness to talk.
I don't think that launching missiles is a way to engage in conversation.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New York.
U.S. experts are still analyzing the failure of North Korea. Korea's new long-range missile. CBS News correspondent David Martin has that.
Data collected by U.S. intelligence from spy platforms like the tracking ship Observation Island indicate the missile's guidance system failed almost immediately, causing it to tumble out of control, breaking apart from the dynamic stress and scattering debris, most of it over North Korea itself.
Officials still aren't certain where the missile was supposed to go. Columbine. The first calls to 911 came in on the morning of April 20th, 1999.
I am on the floor.
to lock the doors. Don't just put me in from out there, and I'm okay.
Two students, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, opened fire at Columbine High School in Golden, Colorado. They took their own lives after killing 13 people. Today, reporter John Hall was on hand as authorities released nearly 1,000 pages of documents, including the killer's notes.
One notebook page taken from Dylan Klebold's house is an itinerary for the attack on the school. Set bombs at 1109 for 1117. Drive to Clement Park. Gear up. Get back by 1115. Set car bombs for 11:18. Go to outside hill. Wait. After first bombs go off, attack. Then underlined at the end, have fun.
A double defeat for advocates of gay marriage. Georgia's highest court has reinstated a constitutional amendment approved by the voters in 2004, which explicitly bans same-sex unions. And New York's Court of Appeals upheld a state law which allows marriage only between a man and a woman. John Wessel was among the plaintiffs challenging the law.
I had such high hopes because of the history of the state for providing equality to all of its citizens.
He and other gay marriage supporters now turn their attention to the legislature, hoping to get the law changed. Mexican election officials have declared conservative Felipe Calderon the winner of the presidential election. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject guys hate to talk about, erectile dysfunction. Well, if guys won't even talk about it, how can we doctors treat them? First caller.
Yes, just for the record, I've never personally experienced ED.
Okay.
But were I ever someday to have this issue, I have a prearranged code with my doctor.
You're going to mention some kind of code phrase.
Exactly. One I'm not at liberty to divulge at this point in time.
And you think your doc will remember it?
Well...
Wouldn't it be easier to just take a deep breath and blurt out?
As in, hey, doc, I think I might have ED.
Well, yeah.
That wasn't so bad. Thanks.
And we're on the air. If you think you might have ED, your doctor's the one who can help. So blurt, stammer, hammer, haw, your doc will get the drift. It could make a difference in your sex life. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, visit JustAskToday.com.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, Sybil Edmonds, a whistleblower, joins us to talk about the subpoena aimed at Donald Rumsfeld over documents related to Abu Ghraib. And we dedicate this portion of the Peter B. Collins Show to Lieutenant Aaron Watata. Aaron Watata is the highest-ranking and perhaps most visible recent refusenik. He declined an order to return to Iraq, and on July the 5th, he was charged with three articles of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, two counts of contempt toward officials, and one count of missing movement. I fully support the actions of Lieutenant Aaron Watata. And I want to recommend to you a powerful new documentary called Soldiers Speak Out. It's a 30-minute piece, the main feature, but it also has lots of interviews uncut with various individuals who explain their experiences in Iraq and why they wouldn't or won't return to active duty. The filmmakers join us this half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. They both have won Oscars for their documentary work in the past. David Casper is the co-founder of a nonprofit media production center in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, called The Empowerment Project. And together with Barbara Trent, he has produced a number of powerful documentaries, including The Panama Deception, Destination Nicaragua, Cover-Up Behind the Iran-Contra Affair. And as we mentioned, Barbara Trent is his collaborator, co-founder of The Empowerment Project, and they work together on this new DVD package, which is a DVD and more, we'll talk about that, called Soldiers Speak Out. First, David, thank you for joining us today, and thank you for continuing your commitment to fighting for the truth.
Good to be here.
Thank you, sir. And Barbara Trent, thank you for joining us, and thanks for getting in touch and supplying us with a copy of your project, your DVD.
It's our pleasure. That's what we're focused on now, letting people know.
Now, tell us, Barbara, the origins of this particular project.
Actually, I'm going to bounce that back to Dave if I could.
David, you go.
Well, I could tell you a big reason why I decided to make this documentary, and it has to do with my experience during the Vietnam era. I was, you know, part of that whole generation that experienced either being in the military and being affected by the Vietnam War in other ways. And I was drafted. I happened to be, you know, exactly the right age.
Mm-hmm.
And I had used up all my student deferments, and I was in the Army for 2 years. Was fortunate that I didn't get sent to Vietnam. I was in a staging area in Thailand. But a number of my friends were in the military, and some of them died there and didn't come back. And it went on for so long, and it was such a disaster for everyone involved that when it finally ended in the mid-1970s, I think everybody realized what a disaster it was, and we felt like, I think, both those of us who were in the military and those who were involved in the anti-war movement, which myself I was, you know, also after I got out, but we felt that we had really learned a lesson from this. That if, you know, if there was anything that good that happened from it, at least, you know, we learned that this is not what the United States should be doing in the world. And if any of us ever thought at that time that there would be another war of occupation similar to that would
well, it just wasn't believable at the time.
Forever, that it would, you know, it just seemed like that wouldn't happen again. Mm-hmm. But here it is, 30 years later, and then we've got a whole new generation of people.
Well, and Barbara, some of us did learn serious lessons from Vietnam, but one guy who got out of the draft by getting his dad to put him into the Texas Air National Guard has apparently no knowledge of that that dark history. And he even compounded that by committing large numbers of National Guard and Reserve troops to this folly in Iraq.
Well, I think one of the things that's really concerning is that after Vietnam, we all thought, well, this won't happen again. You know, this is just too obvious. But part of what happens is these young people come back from this horrendous experience, and they don't talk about it. So everybody who wasn't there doesn't understand, and the stories don't get passed down. Mm-hmm. One of the young women in our film said, when I was in Iraq, when we interviewed her, she said, when I was in Iraq, I thought, I'm never going to talk about this. I'm never going to talk about this.
Yeah.
But when I came back, she said, and found out how the public was being misled, I realized I had to talk. So it's, one of the big purposes of the DVD is to give these soldiers, and I mean that as a fighting force, Marines, mm-hmm. Air Force, give them the opportunity to tell the next generation and their generation, because these are young kids, this is Iraq, these mm-hmm. are people coming back from Iraq, to tell them that I was lied to by my recruiter. This isn't fun. It isn't exciting. It's horrible. It's not job training.
It's not an adventure.
Not an adventure, right.
And often the recruiters lie about what you're actually going to get, where you're actually going to be assigned, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Now, David, let's move away from the recruiter issues, because there is a lot of misleading information given to manipulate people into joining the services. But in the big picture, we know that a lot of lies led to this war in Iraq. We also know that lies led to the expansion of the war in Vietnam, specifically the 65 Gulf of Tonkin resolution. Did you have that same sense of betrayal that your commander-in-chief, that your Pentagon, had misled you in order to get you into a war in Vietnam? It's a little different because of the draft, but go ahead anyway.
Well, you know, I followed the whole lead up to the war, in which, you know, really started in mid 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I didn't believe the propaganda for a minute, but I could see that it was becoming successful, and that people were, you know, starting to be in favor of invading Iraq. But I think, you know, if we look back at that time in history and how the war started, it really is one of the you know, it's an outstanding feat of government propaganda, probably more than anything in modern history,
mm-hmm.
that they were able to take something that you know, is in clear violation of international law, that was a country that you know, it was no threat to us really or its neighbors, that had nothing to do, I mean, you know, almost literally nothing to do with Al-Qaeda and the attacks on 9/11.
Correct.
And it's Orwellian, because they actually succeeded in making people think that what is black is white. And it's frightening, you know, how successful they were in doing that. But I think something has happened since then. You know, it's they got away with it then, and the official line held up, you know, for a while during the first year or so. But I think people are wise now.
Mm-hmm.
They know what has happened. That's why Bush's popularity is down in the 30s, and I think things are changing in this country.
Well, certainly there are indications. It's moving a little slowly, but it is changing. That's David Casper, and he co-produced this film with Barbara Trent, who's also with us, called Soldiers Speak Out. It's out on a DVD, and the DVD is more than that. It's a DVD-ROM. You put it in your computer, and you can access files with a lot of resources, and you can link directly to them on the web. So it's a powerful package called Soldiers Speak Out. We're going to a break here, Barbara, but tell us briefly how people can get a copy of Soldiers Speak Out.
Sure. They can either go online at empowermentproject.org, or they can call at 919-928-0382.
All right. I'll repeat that number, 919-928-0382, or log on to empowermentproject.org. We'll continue with Barbara Trent and David Casper in a moment. Questions and comments, bring them on, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 888-579-2540. 17 minutes past the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous
Santa Barbara Galician. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today.
173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home. It's 420, and we get the latest from Pat McAllister.
Good afternoon, and it's not that bad from a commute standpoint. A cone zone alert, Highway 9, north of Boulder Creek. It's one-way traffic control just wrapping up, but Caltrans is going to do it all again tomorrow. This will be from 9 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon as they do some repair work for that stretch of 9. Salinas right now, Big Rig versus Big Rig, final clearing stages, Highway 101 at South Sanborn. And San Juan Bautista, southbound 101 before 129, motorhome on fire, that to the right-hand shoulder, and the fire department is en route. This update brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. An oil change can help improve your vehicle's fuel economy and dependability. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you get a Napa conventional motor oil, just $1.59 a quart. Napa, it's the good stuff. Pat McAllister with traffic on KRXA 540.
Muchas gracias. We'll talk to you in about half an hour.
De nada.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. The peace movement in the United States is growing, and increasing numbers of uniformed members of our military are recognizing the folly of our administration's policies and refusing to continue to serve. There's a powerful new documentary called Soldiers Speak Out, and we're talking now with its producers and directors, Barbara Trent and David Casper. They collaborated on this project, and you can find out more information and order a copy for yourself at empowermentproject.org. That's easy, empowermentproject.org. And Barbara, one of the things that strikes me in watching this documentary and just seeing the returning vets is how very young they are. Now, I realize that I'm getting old, and that makes young people seem younger. But I have a 21-year-old stepson, and he is, you know, just abreast of the age group that is suffering the most in taking this duty in Iraq, suffering the casualties, the PTSD, the exposure to depleted uranium and other toxics, including white phosphorus that was used for the shake-and-bake maneuvers in Fallujah and elsewhere. Does it break your heart when you interview these young people and recognize just how much they've already lived and how much pain they'll carry for the rest of their lives?
It is very sobering, and it does break my heart. I have a 36-year-old son. And, you know, it's by the grace of God, as they say, go I and go he, that he realized he had other options. I mean, one of the things that's so tragic is, yeah, the recruiters are targeting young people, often poor people, often youngsters, you know, students, high school students that who aren't doing well grade-wise, and they get this information from the schools. And in fact, I just read an amazing little piece in the paper that that the Pentagon has made this video on glamorous jobs, glam jobs in the military, and they're going to send it to 48,000 high school counselors this fall. So needless to say, we would like to get soldiers speak out to those 48,000 counselors so there's something to counter that with, because kids are so, I mean, they're young, they're looking for some excitement, they're looking for some job skills to get out of town, do something.
I thought it was a crime to send pornography to underage people.
Well, not in this government's opinion, apparently not.
David Casper, you mentioned that you were drafted to serve in Vietnam. Do you think the fact that we have this quote-unquote all-volunteer army enables most Americans to blithely continue in their lives with no connection to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan?
I think that's true. I think that this war is probably too easy to ignore by, you know, most of the population. That's a big reason why I think that there's not going to be a draft. I think if they did institute a draft, the backlash would be tremendous, and they realize that, and so they're relying instead on this new method of luring people in, and like Barbara said, the deceptive methods that they use are really
unconscionable,
shocking, and horror stories that you hear are really shocking.
Well, I think some of the simulators they use give the impression that it's just like a video game, and when you make a kill, you just hit reset and, you know, kind of move on to the next struggle. Before we run out of time, Barbara Trent, I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about the other elements here. The main feature is 28 minutes, but there are also extended interviews with all of the participants, and there are some additional film pieces on here. I really got a lot out of the Camp Casey package. And you also have lots of resources, so go ahead and talk about that.
Well, and Camp Casey, I want you to know, was made by a team called Laughing Tears Productions. We have shorts. There are 5 shorts, which are little short docs made by other filmmakers. And they're on this DVD. Also on this DVD are trailers of even more filmmakers' work so that people can see what's out there. After they watch Soldiers Speak Out, they may want to buy something else and see something else or show another film to their school or to their class or in their community group. And as you mentioned, we also added 52 websites, which are divided in sections for whether or not you're an active military. There's a section of resources for active military, so they know their rights, so they know what they do and don't have to do, despite what the military tells them. There's a section of resources for people involved in counter-recruiting, people in the anti-war movement, for veterans coming back who need help, who have post-traumatic syndrome, or who are waiting too long to get the kind of care they need from this administration through the veterans benefits, which is just sometimes they take a year before they'll decide, okay, maybe you do have post-traumatic stress disorder, maybe you do.
Well, and they're in total denial about depleted uranium.
Yeah. Oh, and yes, but there's no problem. And as they will say, if you want, all you have to do to be safe from depleted uranium, and it's true, is hold up a piece of paper and it'll bounce off. The problem is, it's in the dirt, it's in the dust. Every time a tank moves, you're inhaling it, and there's no little person inside your lungs holding up that piece of paper.
Indeed. I want to thank you both, Barbara Trent and David Casper. The new film we've been talking about is Soldiers Speak Out. Log on to empowermentproject.org. That's empowermentproject.org. Or call 919-928-0382 to get a DVD for yourself. Barbara, David, thank you very much for your work. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
My pleasure. Coming up next, Sabell Edmonds, the whistleblower, talks about Donald Rumsfeld's refusal to support to supply documents to a congressional committee. That's next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily. There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
You are listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. No subpoena required for you to listen. Returning to our program today is a great American, Sabell Edmonds. She is president of the NSWBC. That's the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. They're on the web at nswbc.org. Hello, Sabell.
Hello, Peter.
How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. And thank you for inviting me back to your show.
Well, it's because news is breaking and you're right on top of it. So, you know, last Friday, when most of us were focused on getting away for a long holiday weekend, making sure we had enough party supplies to hunker down and get through a five-day break, there was an action by a committee in the Congress which caught no notice. I saw nothing about it in news reports. It wasn't until we got an email from your group and your partner, Pogo, that we learned that a subpoena was issued to the Secretary of Defense. Tell us about the case of Samuel Provance.
Sure, Peter. Last March, we, after campaigning very hard, we were able to get this hearing before the House Government Reform Committee on national security whistleblowers. Initially, they wanted the witnesses to be basically the usual people, you know, the directors, the deputy directors, the inspector generals. And we campaigned very hard and we insisted that they should have national security whistleblowers as witnesses. So they had five national security whistleblowers on the panel for this hearing on national security whistleblowers. And one of the witnesses basically over there from the Department of Defense was Sergeant Provance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing experience because once they started hearing from Sergeant Provance and what he had gone through in order to do the right thing, and that is reporting criminal activities, unlawful activities, with these interrogations of detainees over there in Iraq, even the most hard-headed Republicans were just appalled. So this was the reason we were pushing for whistleblowers to get up there and let the Congress know what happens and what they have done and, as a result, what they have faced in terms of retaliation. And as a result of that hearing, both the chairman of the committee, for the House Government Reform Committee, Congressman Davis, and from the Homeland Security Committee under that, Congressman Shays, together with Congressman Waxman, they started investigating this case of Sergeant Provance and asked the Department of Defense to provide them with certain documents, all the memos of how he reported these issues and what were the responses from his superiors. And this was in March 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Well, April, May, June, and the Department of Defense have not, you know, they have not responded to these requests, and they have not provided the committee with the requested documents. And so last week during the hearing, the Republicans and Democrats, for the first time, they got up there and they said they are not going to put up with this. And they were going to subpoena these documents since the Department of Defense was refusing
mm-hmm.
to provide the requested documents, which is a great move. And I'm so happy to see this, that finally our Congress, they are starting showing a little bit of muscles and they are reclaiming their oversight authority.
Well, it's never too late, but it sure is pretty late. It's worth noting that Congressman Davis and Shays are both Republicans, Henry Waxman, a Democrat from the Los Angeles area, and it has been difficult to reach consensus on these Republican-controlled committees, often protecting the White House or the Department of Defense. Now, Samuel Provance has critical information about what was going on at Abu Ghraib, and it appears from news accounts and from the information you sent me, Sibel, that the government wants to keep his testimony from becoming public because it might creep up the chain of command. To date, they have managed to limit the responsibility for the atrocities at Abu Ghraib. I believe the highest ranking is Colonel Pappas. Is that right?
That's correct. And what happens with this case, it's in a way a model whistleblower case. This is what you see over and over with whistleblowers. Sergeant Provance, he reported these issues, and some of these incidents involved using these prisoners' children and threatening to hurt them in order to interrogate and get information from these prisoners. And by reporting this, instead of addressing the issue, they just went after the messenger, after Sergeant Provance, and they yanked his security clearance. They sent him towards, you know, to disciplinary action committee, and they have basically put him on this admin leave position for doing the right thing, reporting unlawful activities.
Mm-hmm. And in particular, again, I'm zeroing in on this, and I can't really judge its relevance, but Provence described in testimony an interview with a General Fay in March of 2004 and the general's resistance to hearing Provence's allegations concerning abuses by military intelligence. So he went right up the chain of command the way he is supposed to,
exactly.
And he ran into a brick wall.
Right. And unlike the way the administration is trying to portray the whistleblowers, this man went, as you just mentioned, he went to his supervisors and all the way up. He didn't go to the media. And finally, he informed the Congress appropriately, the appropriate committees. And this is what the administration does in return. And again, he is one of hundreds of cases of whistleblowers from these agencies. And as if these people are just following these manuals of retaliation of what happens to people who actually choose to do the right thing.
And Tom Davis, a Republican, I'm sure is reluctant to challenge his party and the administration. But he said, quote, when the committee requests information from executive branch departments and agencies, we try to be reasonable and accommodate their legitimate concerns about the volume and sensitivity of what we're asking for. But if the Defense Department won't even return a call after 3 months and begin that dialogue, we really have no choice but to subpoena the material and compel their attention to our request. And specifically, what Davis is seeking is Specialist Provence's unredacted testimony. All communications relating to the interrogation, treatment, or detention at Abu Ghraib of Iraqi General Hamid Zabar, his son, you referred to that a moment ago. Communications relating to any other cases in which family members of detainees or others were involved in any way in any interrogation. And this would be new information. We know about some of the human rights abuses and violations which took place at Abu Ghraib. But as Donald Rumsfeld famously would say, Sibel, for the public, there are known unknowns. We know that there are far more photographs and far more troubling, grisly photographs from Abu Ghraib than those which have been released to date. And we now suspect from the efforts by Specialist Provence to either go public or reach the appropriate officials with his information that there may have been improper use of family members as a way to abuse and put pressure on detainees.
Right. Peter, how many hearings we have had to date, either in the Senate or in the House, dealing with Abu Ghraib or dealing with the Guantanamo or dealing with the WMD? Zero. And that's why this is good news, because as you just mentioned, up until about last year this time, Chairman Davis opposed any dialogue on whistleblowers' issues and the reports of, you know, serious wrongdoings within these agencies. And today, even Chairman Davis gets up and says, you know, enough is enough.
Now, Sibel, the subpoena was issued the day after the rather remarkable Supreme Court ruling, which chastened the president and said he has broken the law. He has done illegal things at Guantanamo Bay regarding the process and rights of the detainees there. Do you have any sense that Chairman Davis was emboldened by that Supreme Court ruling in taking on this challenge to a very powerful sitting defense secretary?
Well, Peter, I'm sure that played a role. But also the fact that Congress right now realizes that people are really, really unhappy with its performance. For the past 4 or 5 years, we have had this Congress that has basically abdicated its oversight responsibility. As we just mentioned, every time they are asking for any documents, the executive branch says, no, we are not going to give it to you. Now, this can be on NSA illegal eavesdropping, or it can be on Abu Ghraib, and the Republicans just putting up with it and not doing anything, and in some cases actually defending the White House and not playing the role that they're supposed to be playing in this picture in order to have the system of checks and balances. And today, with all the surveys that are coming out in terms of public's confidence in Congress, and as you mentioned, the Supreme Court's decision, and also the level of activities in terms of outside, the number of whistleblowers has increased tremendously since September 11, and it has reached this point that it's not easy to ignore any longer. And, of course, the elections is coming up in November, too. So you basically, you know, consider all these factors. They all together play this role in terms of bringing about this move, which regardless is good, and we are hoping that this is just the beginning. You know, sometimes you need to have this first one in order for the rest to follow the trend, and hopefully we will see that, and hopefully this will send a message to the White House that things are changing, and I'm hoping that.
Sybil Edmonds, how many people currently on your roster at the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition?
Well, officially we have 84 members, and the average years of experience for our members is 21 years with these government agencies, Department of Homeland Security, and previously people were with agencies like the FAA or the Immigration Department,
CIA.
NSA, CIA, FBI. But then we have another 25 whistleblowers who are still going through the system. Either they are placed on admin leave or they are still trying to fight their case internally. So we have over 100 national security whistleblowers, and our partner coalitions have another 100. So you're looking at just 200 national security whistleblowers who have come forward since September 11, 2001.
We're talking with Sybil Edmonds. The website with lots of information is nswbc.org. That's National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. nswbc.org. They've posted their congressional Dirty Dozen. We're going to talk about that in the next segment, and we'll take your phone calls. If you'd like to talk with Sybil, lines are open 831-899-5792 or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
KRXA 540, checking traffic at 448. Here's Metro's Pat McAllister.
And this KRXA update brought to us by thegoldenpalace.com. Do you love Star Trek enough to beam William Shatner's kidney stone into your house?
No,
neither do I. But alas, goldenpalace.com certainly did and does, and so they want you to go to goldenpalace.com today, play 80 free Vegas-style games and Texas Hold'em That's goldenpalace.com, although I don't think they'll give you the kidney stone as a prize. So.
Oh, gosh.
I know. One must buck up and deal with. If you are dealing with that Salinas commute, Allison Road, Hartnell Road, injury crash with a car on its roof, if it is Campbell that is part of your route, Lee Avenue at Campbell Avenue, two-car crash there. Oh, and on the Monterey to Salinas Friday afternoon trek, it's an early pocket of slow-and-go traffic eastbound 68 approaching Laurelis Grade, the signal there. Pat McAllister with traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up as we kick off the Free Speech Zone next hour, we'll get a special report from our producer, Matt Renner, on a debate that was broadcast on C-SPAN over the last couple of hours between Joe Lieberman, the Democratic senator from Connecticut, and his progressive challenger, Ned Lamont. We'll get the details and take lots of your calls next hour here on the PBC Show. We continue now with Sybelle Edmonds, a whistleblower in her own right. She's shown incredible courage and inspires me, I have to say, on a regular basis to continue the struggle for real American values. And Sybelle, I salute you. She's president of the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, and we're talking about this remarkable development that escaped most news coverage, a subpoena sent to Donald Rumsfeld at the Pentagon last week to produce documents related to the whistleblower who has tried to bring forth information still not generally available to the public about atrocities at Abu Ghraib, and he is Specialist Provence that we're talking about. And, Sybelle, we've got Dave on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Sybelle, one of your big admirers. I have two points that I hope I can make as clear as I can with you. One, my opinion, you are a competent professional, an honest, intelligent translator who looks for the evidence, looks for the facts, and accurately translates. That's premise number one. Two, we have a White House that is up to their neck in the events of 9/11. They wanted their new Pearl Harbor. They arranged to bring it about. They planted the demolitions. They caused it to happen. You would have found that out. You would have if they let you do it. There is no place for an honest, competent translator looking at evidence of 9/11. I hope those two came through clearly.
All right. Your reaction, Sybelle?
Well, we have had so many whistleblowers coming forward from various agencies. You know, we have had Colleen Rowley. We had Phoenix Memo. We had other whistleblowers from the CIA, from the NSA coming and talking about issues that they have not become public. They have not been really addressed. And as a result, these people have been out. Either they have been fired or they have been put on admin leave or they have been forced to resign. And today, you know, we are almost 5 years into the fifth year anniversary of September 11. And just we had that whitewash report by the 9/11 commissioners. And to date, we have seen no accountability. There are so many other questions that have remained unanswered. So, again, that's we have so many different people and entities to blame for this. And mainly it will be the Congress.
Well, Dave, I appreciate the call, and thanks for bringing your thoughts to us today. Now, Sybelle, you at the NSWBC have published a list of what you call the Whistleblower's Dirty Dozen. And I'd like to name these individuals, but first, give us the criteria that qualified them for this special recognition.
Sure. My pleasure. As you know, Peter, for the past 2 years, all our whistleblowers, all of us collectively, have been going to Congress every week and trying to bring their attention to all these serious issues, you know, the issues that involve government waste, fraud, abuse, and in certain cases, criminal activities, asking for hearings, asking for investigations, not asking for favors, asking them to do their job, oversight, and bring about accountability. And as you know, unfortunately, to this date, we haven't had the Congress to really, you know, get up and do its job and bring these issues, you know, and shine the spotlight on them and address them. Now, this list that we have could have had at least 50, 60, maybe hundreds of people.
Maybe a baker's dozen.
Right. But what we did was we took those offices and senators and congressmen who are on the relevant committees, such as government reform, as its name suggests, Judiciary Committee, Intelligence Committee, Homeland Security, and those offices that we have gone to specifically and asked them to basically do their jobs and send them letters, have provided them with cases and documents on these issues. So we picked those 12 offices that have had, you know, the worst records as far as whistleblowers and national security and accountability, therefore public's right to know is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so those offices, and next week we are going to post specific cases, examples, issues, documents. We are going to post all the letters we have sent these offices. And some of these individuals, that's why in our letters, in our message, we are saying by their action or inaction.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go through the list and if you want to ask questions about particular candidates, members in that list, I will be more than happy to provide you with little bit specifics and examples.
Great. You read my mind. How about, you know, two or three lines on each of these people? We'll try to cover as many as we can.
Sure.
And by the way, they're alphabetical, so that you didn't single Hillary Rodham Clinton out for any special. She just happens to be first alphabetically. She
Correct.
Serves on the Armed Services Committee. What has she failed to do or done that you disagreed with?
Sure. One major case, a specific case that I'll talk about, has to do with Veteran Affairs, and this is VA Hospital in New York. It's her state. And we have had from this VA hospital several doctors and pharmacists who blew the whistle in wrongdoings and criminal activities that resulted in the deaths of several veterans there. And this has to do with pharmaceutical companies. They provide $2,000 for each patient that says, okay, you can do experiments on me with medication. And the hospital forged consent signature for some of these people, veterans, the patients. And some of these patients died as a result of this.
Wow.
And we are going to post a lot of details on this. It's been going on for the past 4 or 5 years, okay? There's been no accountability. Some of these doctors who blew the whistle, they were fired. They are all from New York State. They have been banging on Senator Clinton's door, and they're our partner organization, our partner coalition, for the past 4 years. There's been no response from Senator Clinton. Then we went there, and we supported their cause. We went to Senator Clinton's office, sent them faxes, letters, asked them to let us to come and even brief her office about this. No response. They said they're not going to even have us go and meet with them and show them all these documentations. That's one. Number two, Senator Clinton, she loves to be in the press. As you know, she's on TV almost on a weekly basis. If you go and look at her records and her speeches, she has not used the word whistleblower even once in the past 4 years, despite all the cases that have come forward. Plus, we have a lot of DOD whistleblowers, many of them, who have contacted her office. I mean, for example, just the case of Sergeant Provence. Have you heard Senator Clinton being on Armed Services Committee mentioning this case?
Not a word.
Or ask nothing.
Yeah.
So this is the inaction we are talking about. Here is a good example of a senator who abdicates, who has abdicated her oversight responsibility. She's not even responding to these serious cases because she doesn't want to know. And also, as far as whistleblower legislations are concerned, we have had this one senator, Senator Lautenberg, who just brought forward this fantastic bill legislation that he introduced, and she has refused to support it.
All right, let's talk also about another Democrat, Senator Lieberman of Connecticut. How did he make your dirty dozen?
Senator Lieberman is the ranking minority on Homeland Security Committee in the Senate. Homeland Security. What does the name suggest to you, Peter? Homeland Security.
Well, it has Nazi overtones, but I think it means securing our borders and protecting us from adversaries.
It has the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, the entire Department of Homeland Security, under its jurisdiction. To this date, Senator Lieberman has refused to grant any hearings for these issues, any investigations. And as far as the legislations on whistleblowers from Department of Homeland Security or national security-related issues are concerned, he has refused to pass or support legislation from his Democratic colleagues. Senator Lautenberg is a member of Homeland Security Committee. He's a Democrat, and Senator Lieberman refused to even stand up and support the bill that that Senator Lautenberg introduced last March 2006.
Sibel, we're going to have to stop there. The clock has run out, but I want to direct people to your website at nswbc.org, where more information, details on this Dirty Dozen, will be posted within the next week or so. And Sibel, we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Sibel Edmonds. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Was North Korea aiming for Hawaii? A Japanese newspaper says the long-range missile launched the other day was pointed at waters near the Hawaiian Islands. No confirmation of that. The missile tumbled out of control shortly after liftoff. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the North Korean leader might be under pressure to step up testing.
Kim Jong-il's military advisors are almost certainly telling him the failure was the consequence of not having tested a long-range missile in 8 years and urging him to try again. U.S. intelligence says there is no sign another Taepodong is being prepared for launch, a process that would take days, if not weeks.
President Bush is trying to rally support for U.N. sanctions on North Korea.
We're dealing with a person who was asked not to fire a rocket by the Chinese, the South Koreans, the United States, the Japanese, and the Russians. And he fired seven of them.
So far, China and Russia are resisting sanctions, preferring stepped-up diplomacy. Tobacco stocks shot up today when Florida's highest court threw out a $145 billion jury award in a smoking case. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has more.
It's taken 12 years, but cigarette makers have gotten a huge legal win.
Certainly, it is a major victory for the tobacco industry and for R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company that the court unanimously ruled that the punitive damages award should be reversed.
David Howard is with R.J. Reynolds, which was looking at a $36 billion payout in the case, which many said would bankrupt the tobacco industry. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
It's a victory Tom DeLay doesn't want. A federal judge in Austin ruled today that because DeLay won the Republican primary in March, he must remain on the ballot in his former congressional district, even though he resigned from the House last month. Chad Dunn is a lawyer for the Texas Democratic Party.
The integrity of the process is more important than any particular individual, even Tom DeLay.
The Democrats sued to keep DeLay on the ballot because they believe it will help their candidate, Nick Lampson. DeLay maintains he now lives and votes in Virginia, even though he still owns a home in the Houston area. If your job skills match the market, this is a good time to look for work. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano reports on a new survey by CareerBuilder.com.
At the top of the in-demand list is healthcare, sales, customer service and IT, retail, accounting and finance, with a full third of hiring managers saying they need professionals and technical workers in these areas. And up from 12% last year, 15% are now on the prowl for managers, directors and senior execs.
More than a quarter of the managers surveyed said they now do most of their searches for qualified candidates online. A better day on Wall Street. The Dow Industrial's up 73 points to 11,225. Oil prices slipped a bit to $75.14 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my... My aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Real pirates aren't A-list actors.
They're trained killers.
Real pirates don't sip lattes.
They are hyper-violent. I mean, terrifying.
Real pirates don't stab you in the back. They stab you in the front. True Caribbean Pirates. Before Hollywood came calling. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central. As only the History Channel can bring you.
CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman was there today as nominations for TV's Emmy Awards were announced.
24 has the most nominations for a series, 12. Right behind with 11 is Grey's Anatomy.
One step just behind.
An old standby, The Sopranos, has 7 nominations. All 3 are up for Best Drama, along with The West Wing and House. Up for Best Comedy are Arrested Development, Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Office, Scrubs, and 2 and a Half Men. Most nominations overall went to Steven Spielberg's highly praised miniseries, Into the West. It has 16. The envelopes will be opened on August 27th. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Television Academy in Los Angeles.
This is President Bush's birthday. He's among the baby boomers turning 60 this year. Mr. Bush says he used to think 60 was old, but now he says it's a lot younger than you think. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For Small Business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Yes, I'm asleep. Aches and pains used to keep me up all the time, but now new Advil PM is changing all that. If I was awake, I'd leap for joy, but I'm not. I'm asleep. See, new Advil PM combines the multi-pain relieving power of Advil with a non-habit-forming sleep aid. Nothing's proven stronger on tough nighttime pain. I'd shout it from the hilltops, but I don't want to wake myself up.
New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Use only as directed.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on into the free speech zone.
Yeah!
Yeah! You can express yourself even with a good old cowboy yell. Lines are open for you this hour. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or call me toll-free on 1-888-579-2540. You got that? 888-579-2540, toll-free.
You don't scare me, you don't scare me, I said. Do whatever it was floating in the air above my bed. He knew I'd understand. He was the ghost of a Texas ladies' man.
Our music in the moment from Johnette Napolitano and Concrete Blonde. She's got a great voice. Lots to talk about this hour, so grab a line and let us chat. We can chat and chew, as Jim Hightower might say. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. We talked about the Taipodong 2 missile from Korea. We talked about the U.S. propaganda efforts in the Middle East, Al-Hura and Radio Sawa. We talked about the powerful new documentary, Soldiers Speak Out. And we heard from a very powerful voice that John Ashcroft has tried to squelch, Sibel Edmonds of the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, the amazing development of a Republican chairman of a congressional committee sending a subpoena to Don Rumsfeld to cough up that information about Abu Ghraib, and the testimony of Mr. Provance, Specialist Provance. And I just think it's a clear-cut case of stonewalling by the Bush administration. I hope that the Congressional Committee will be successful in winning its efforts to get that information from Mr. Rumsfeld. A couple of other issues that we can add to the mix here. There has been a declaration of a winner in the Mexican presidential election. And many people, I think, will be dissatisfied by this, and I think that many Mexicans will take to the streets over the next few days to express their dissatisfaction. López Obrador, the progressive candidate that Fox News Radio referred to as a free-spending liberal, he lost reportedly by about 220,000 votes. The percentages, 35.88% for the conservative Calderon and 35.31% for López Obrador. So I personally am not satisfied with the outcome of this race. And tomorrow we'll discuss it with our go-to guy on election integrity, Brad Friedman. The interesting case here is that if the election in Mexico was stolen, they did it the old-fashioned way, because to my knowledge, no electronic voting machines were used either for voting or for tabulation. And there are huge anomalies, I'll say, in the calculation, the counting and collection of the ballots across Mexico. And it'll be interesting to see if López Obrador is successful in winning a full recount. But he has called for his supporters to join him in the streets of Ciudad México this Saturday. So while the winner may have been declared, doesn't look like this episode is over, at least not for now. A setback for human rights and homosexual rights in our country today. Let's try that again.
Which sounds a lot like blatant homophobia to me.
That's better.
Happens left and right. That's why we must unite. We gotta stand and fight that old homophobia.
Well, gays and lesbians are fighting that homophobia. And they had two setbacks today. The High Court in New York State, called the Court of Appeals, ruled 4-2 that the state's law allowing marriage only between a man and a woman is constitutional and stands. And in Georgia, where I didn't expect a miracle, 3/4 of voters approved a ban on gay marriage when it was on the ballot in 2004, and the Supreme Court of Georgia reinstated the ban today, ruling unanimously it didn't violate the state's single-subject rule for ballot measures. So, I'm sorry to see that happen. And it probably means that things will go much slower in California, where Governor Schwarzenegger has said he would not sign Mark Leno's same-sex marriage bill. Matt Renner joins us. He's our producer here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and he got a chance to sneak a look at a C-SPAN broadcast of a debate just about an hour ago between Senator Joe Lieberman, who claims to be a Democrat, and his progressive challenger in Connecticut, Ned Lamont. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Not bad. What'd you see there?
Well, I have to say that it reaffirmed a lot of my suspicions. It seems like Lieberman is really scared about this primary challenge, going so far as to say that a challenge in the primary is somehow going against the, or will hurt the Democrats in the long run. I think that he would much rather Ned Lamont just fade away and, you know, be the traditional challenger in these primaries who just runs on one issue and tends to lose pretty significantly.
Right, somebody who never expects to win, who just shows up either to build for the future or because they want to make a point.
Right, and Lieberman continued to try to box Ned Lamont into that frame by saying that the only issue he's running on is the Iraq War. It happened that the first two questions pertained to the Iraq War for both the candidates, and Lieberman initially said that Lamont was flip-flopping. He actually didn't use the word, but that was his implication. I mean, his use of Republican language was amazing in this debate.
Yeah.
He said basically on the Iraq War, which seems to be one of the most important issues for Ned Lamont, but not the only one, is that Lieberman was claiming that Ned Lamont supported the MIRTHA plan, and then he didn't, and then he supported pulling out right away, and then he didn't. And Ned Lamont really cleared it up pretty quickly. He stated that he wants to take American troops out of harm's way in the next 6 months, and basically a redeployment, and have him pull all the troops out in the next year. He challenged Lieberman a number of times on this issue that Lieberman wouldn't agree to a timetable. And Lieberman said, you know, I don't agree to a timetable, but we should have 50% of the troops out by next year.
Well, let me go back to your original point, because we discussed this with Ari Melber yesterday, and it's interesting because on the one hand, Lieberman claims to be the Democratic loyalist who is injured by this upstart who is challenging him after all these years of service. And yet he contradicts that position by gathering signatures to prepare for a run as an independent in which he would run against the Democratic nominee, that's loyal, if he loses in the primary on August 6th.
Right. And this point was actually one of the most interesting parts of the debate, because it's something that seems so desperate to keep that option open, that someone would continue to try to pursue a career in the Senate after losing their party's primary. And it seems so disloyal that when confronted with that similar question, Lieberman got very uncomfortable and couldn't really give a straight answer. I mean, Lamont said, look, Lamont really looked like the distinguished senator, and Lieberman looked like the first-timer who was getting his butt handed to him.
That's interesting.
Lamont said, I concede. If I lose the primary, I will put all my support to you, Lieberman. And Lieberman, hemmed and hawed and said that he was doing it to keep his options open and that the people of Connecticut need him in there so badly that he should be an independent and run against the Democratic primary winner and then claim that the primary was somehow detracting from his candidacy. I mean, from the chance to keep the seat as a Democratic seat.
Yeah. Just you may not know the answer to this, but this provokes a question in my mind. If Lieberman were successful in winning the seat in November as an independent, would he retain his Democratic-based seniority in the Senate, or would he be coming in as a freshman independent?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer. I have a feeling he would come in as an independent and then caucus with the Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah.
He claims that on that same point, though, I mean, it was really interesting. The questions were pretty good. And one of the questions was, could you define what a Democrat is? And some people have said this is the fight for the soul of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a quote from the reporter who was asking the question.
That's my line. Go ahead.
And and Ned Lamont really did do a good job answering that question compared to Lieberman. He said that the Democratic Party is about the common good. And it's about, standing for something and opposing the Bush doctrine that has driven our country into the ground. He also, another big theme for him was universal health care, which was amazing for me to see. I'm a huge supporter of that, and education. But also, I mean, he kept coming back to the standing up to the Bush administration because it's something that Lieberman is weak on.
Mm-hmm.
Lieberman's answer was something muddled about being a Kennedy Democrat. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like people rising in our country. And then he said something about 90% of the time he voted with the Democrats, and that's about all I got out from his answer.
I think 90 is a stretch. I'm not sure it's that high.
I actually put a star next to that on my notes to make sure I looked that up, because I think that actually might be a lie.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you want to add, Matt? Very interesting exchange.
No, I just want to say that I really hope that our listeners can get behind Ned Lamont, because he seems to really have a progressive mindset, and he understands that to win elections in November, we need to actually run with a distinct and different plan than the Republicans have. I mean, Lieberman really embodies a lot of what's wrong with the Democratic Party. This triangulation makes it so that it seems like we only have one party, and that's the party of the rich.
Yeah.
Ned Lamont, while personally wealthy, is not going to be a politician in the sense we have now. He's not going to be bought off by lobbyists the same way Lieberman has been, and he made that very clear. So if we can get people who are listening to our show to help out, I'd be very happy about that.
All right, nedlamont.com, is that right?
I believe so.
I think that's it. Go check it out or Google if you get lost there.
One more thing, Peter?
Yep.
There's going to be a replay on C-SPAN 2 at 7:15 Pacific.
Oh, great. I can catch that.
Yeah, perfect.
7:15 tonight on C-SPAN 2. Thank you, Matt Renner.
All right, bye.
So let's talk about it. Lieberman Lamont, gay marriage, other issues in the news. Grab a line and join us in the Free Speech Zone. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 checks in at 521 now with Metro Traffic and Pat McAllister.
This update brought to us by Toyota Corolla. Hit the road in a car that won't hit you in the wallet. The sporty Toyota Corolla with an EPA estimated 41 miles per gallon on the highway. Corolla, it's time to drive more and pump less. So much for the Scenic Postcard Commute, the Scenic Stretch Carmel to Big Sur, East Bixby Creek Bridge. Problem there, southbound one, a motorcyclist down about 12 feet over the side. All this activity about a half mile past that scenic bridge itself. Capitola, southbound Highway 1, right at 41st Avenue, an accident there. That's kind of bad news if you were thinking of a detour to the Capitola Mall on your way home tonight. Might choose Soquel Avenue. Auto Plaza Drive is a sneak by. Santa Cruz Mountains, let's end on a positive note. No accidents, no stalls to report on Highway 17.
Fabuloso.
Exactly. Pat McAllister, traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're in the free speech zone. If you want to use your free speech rights, you should get on the line right now.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
If you're like me, you have no shortage of opinions, and this is a great outlet for you. My switchboard's wide open. I'm ready for your call. On the Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792. North Coast or elsewhere, call us toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. And some of our regular contributors appear to be on vacation out of the country or maybe just hunkered down. And that means there's room for you to call. So don't be shy. If it's your first time, I'll be gentle, unless you're not. Again, my number is 831-899-5792 and 888-579-2540. Fascinating report from Matt Renner there just a moment ago about the debate, or at least a joint appearance, between Senator Lieberman and his progressive challenger, Ned Lamont. Lamont has been on with us about three times, and I got to meet him face-to-face in Washington now 3 weeks ago, and I'm very impressed with him. And as we have discussed on this program, I think this is a watershed primary challenge. I think that Ned Lamont is carrying a spear for progressive Democrats who are tired of the dinos, the Democrats in name only, tired of seeing Democrats support a fraudulent Bush administration on so many issues, and tired of business as usual, where Democrats rally around incumbents and say, oh, we can't allow them to lose. We've got to protect them. And that's what has produced this, what I find an uncomfortable development, that Senator Boxer from California has promised to campaign not for the progressive anti-war candidate, but for the sellout incumbent. That's right. Barbara Boxer has agreed to campaign for Joe Lieberman in Connecticut between now and their primary. So has Senator Joe Biden. So has Senator Ken Salazar of Colorado. And I think it's important that these individuals get the message that we will not hold our noses through another important election and hope that the Democrats who have failed to provide significant opposition to the power grabs of this Bush administration on so many fronts should be permitted to go forward to earn re-election or to be given re-election without earning it simply because they have been there before and been there for a long time. And I think it's important that the Democratic Party change substantively in this midterm cycle if there is any hope to regain the House or the Senate in 06 or 08, and the even longer shot of taking back the White House. And we saw John Kerry compromise, take bad advice from Bob Shrum, listen to the DLC people, and he basically was just betting that George Bush would lose, and therefore John Kerry would just be the winner. Didn't want to take any risks that might alienate voters or scare away independents. And in doing so, I believe that he lowered the turnout of Democrats and others who otherwise might have come out and supported him, because he was just too lukewarm, too tepid. And I remember that speech in October at the Grand Canyon in 2004 when Kerry was asked by a reporter if he would change anything, including his vote authorizing the president to use military force in Iraq. And he said no. It's that kind of calculation that has earned the Democrats their number two status. And if they stick with it, I think that's what they will continue to enjoy. Second-class status. Margie, on the south coast of Oregon, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, in addition to the names you've already mentioned going to support Lieberman, I heard that, what's his name, Barack Obama?
Yes, he has.
Was going to support him, too.
He already has. He's been to Connecticut to a fundraiser where he spoke and endorsed Joe Lieberman.
Uh-huh.
And I find that very disappointing, because many people call this program and point to Barack Obama as an untainted future star of the Democratic Party.
Right.
And I'm with them on an aspirational level. But he's got to prove it to us, just like anybody else. The fact that he's an attractive African-American does not just automatically get my vote.
Right. He's a big disappointment to me. I heard that Lieberman is his mentor, and if that's true, that does it for me.
Well, I mean, it's possible to be mentored by someone without embracing all of their positions. But I think Senator Obama has an obligation to try to define for people exactly what the basis of his support for Senator Lieberman is. Otherwise, we are going to conclude perhaps like you have, Margie.
Yeah. It's sad when you think you finally have someone you can yell hooray for.
It is hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's tough out there. There's a song, It's Hard Out There for a Pimp, and we should do a remix. It's hard out there for a progressive, you know?
Yeah. Oh, can you define, is progressive actually a party, or is it just...
No, it's a term for people who are too scared to use liberal. Thanks, Margie. I'm Peter B. Collins, and I'm a liberal.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's MOHRimports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rocks on. We're in the free speech zone. There are two lines available right now. 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. And I want to put a shout out to Marianne in Pacific Grove. You left us dangling, Marianne. We want to hear the rest of your story about Ken Lay and LSD. That's a killer combo. Yes, we have some important birthdays today. First of all, two important people joined us on the planet today. This is their very first day. One of our technicians at KRXA in Monterey, James Pena, and his wife Karina gave birth today to a baby girl. It's their first, and it was a long wait. I'm glad it's over, James. And earlier today, I called my friend Matt Gray over in Sacramento. And, you know, the phone rang through to his office, and then I could tell it was forwarded to his cell phone. And he picked up, and I said, "Hey, are you busy?" He said, "Well, I'm holding my brand new baby boy. He was born about 10 minutes ago." And I said, "Matt, why are you answering the phone?" And joining those perfect babies today, we send birthday greetings to Joe Foreman. He's our technical director and taking your calls on the phone today when you call the Peter B. Collins Show. Also, Nancy Reagan has a birthday today, and I don't think she's telling us her exact age. And that's okay, Nancy. I don't really need to know. We have a little soundbite from the former First Lady here. Let's see if I can pull it up for you. Nancita, take it away.
Not old age. He's got a mind like a computer, like a steel trap. He can remember facts and figures that I have long since forgotten, and everybody else has too.
That's Nancy Reagan talking about her late husband, and that's before they admitted he had Alzheimer's. And, of course, during the last few years of his tenure in office, he made a lot of mistakes and appeared to be quite forgetful, but they didn't admit until 91 or 92 that he had Alzheimer's, full-blown. Oh, yeah, and some guy named George W. Bush is 60 today. But there are plenty of people who've already wished him a happy birthday, so why would I pile on? Cynthia in Monterey, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good afternoon.
Peter B.
Hi, Cynthia.
Yeah, happy birthday to all those people. I can't believe Nancy Reagan was talking about Reagan. It was like, wow, to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, how's Beanie or Barney or what's his name?
You mean Benny?
Benny.
Benny, our personal minder at the NSA?
Yeah.
Shall we offer him a charming greeting today? Hello, Benny. Y'all keep listening now because it's your job.
Mr. Vicious is upset now.
Oh, really? Your dog heard that sound?
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, you think Barney, his name's Barney?
No, Benny.
Benny.
Right.
Benny. It has a classic Jesus complex like Ann.
Like Ann Coulter?
Oh, yeah. Bad enough, you know, that they had to out her as a boy with no past.
Well, and now she's accused of plagiarism. And I'm not surprised by that. It's hard to imagine that all that crap is original.
So does she just materialize out of a... some god's head fully formed?
No, I think it's a blue screen phenomenon.
Uh-huh. It's bad enough they called her an H-A-R-P-I-E.
Well, she used that term on others.
Yeah. I never
can you believe that? I have seen many outrageous things coming from conservatives in my lifetime, but I've never heard somebody call a widow a harpy and then suggest that she and her fellow widows were about to be divorced by their husbands.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, where does she get that information?
Anne says what she means. You know, some of us say things and we regret it later, but not dear Anne.
Right.
Fully formed.
Yeah.
Actually,
Did you hear the Maury Meniscus report that I played in our first hour today?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna play it again after we finish our conversation here, so that people who tuned in late can hear.
Right wingers that can defend new ways of frying people, there's just something so fundamentally wrong with them. It's like a fascist elite. I've been watching Deadwood, and it's about the Comstock and all this, and it's sort of the rise of American fascism in Hearst, in my opinion, and it's just very interesting. You know what lengths people will go to for power.
It's true. Thanks, Cynthia. Now let's listen to this Maury Meniscus report. I think you'll get a kick out of it, and I hope this is the first time you've heard it.
And now, Maury's Minute, featuring the journalist who's never been censured by the Senate, Maury Meniscus. That's me. Dateline, secret wiretapping. It's tearing the nation apart. Senator Russ Feingold asked to appear here on The Minute, but we decided that instead of going straight to the source, we'd rather have two pundits argue. On the right, we've got celebrated conservative commentator Ann Coulter.
Hello, Maury.
And on the left, we've got a monkey. Let's get right to the topic. Is illegal secret wiretapping illegal?
He's just grandstanding and politicizing. We should send the simian liberal to North Korea and nuke him.
So you're saying it's not illegal, Anne?
I'm saying if it were up to traitors like him, Saddam Hussein would be in the White House. Oh, so you don't want the government listening in on your phone calls. What are you afraid they might hear, you little monkey?
The right to privacy's not important.
Listen, it's monkeys like him who are trying to hand out nuclear weapons like candy to terrorists.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand a word he's saying.
Any non-brain-dead human would find his liberal nonsense hard to understand.
No, I mean I don't speak monkey.
That surrender monkey might as well be speaking French.
Oh, hey, Anne, put that flamethrower down!
Eat fire, you damn dirty ape!
I guess this wasn't such a fair debate, since one side was represented by a ranting primate. But I'm tapped out on the subject, so it's good enough for me. Until next time, reach out and touch someone appropriately, America.
That's Maury Meniscus from Mother Jones Magazine. Quite a report there, starring Ann Coulter. Millie and Aptos, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi.
Oh, hi, Peter. I have three items I want to bring up. The first one is, would you tell us again, because I missed it, what's happened with the Army? Is it an Army officer that just got...
Well, he's a lieutenant. His name is Aaron Watada, W-A-T-A-D-A. And there's a website with updated information at thankyult.org.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So check that out. But, yes, he is Lieutenant Watada, and he has formally been charged. It was yesterday they charged him with three counts of one was, you know, two counts of failing to submit to authority or whatever the terminology is, and the other was failure to report for a transfer to Iraq.
So I guess he'll be held under house arrest or something like that.
Oh, I don't know that, but I imagine they'll throw him in the brig sooner or later.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, thank you. The other thing is, the second is regarding Barbara Boxer. I've been voting for her for years, of course.
Yeah.
I had no choice. She was pretty good for a long time. But I'm emailing her the equivalent of a Dear John letter.
Ooh.
I don't expect anything from Feinstein, but anyway, Boxer, this is the second bad thing she's done in 4 years.
And the first was?
I can't remember, but I know I was steamed up.
I think she voted for Justice Alito.
Oh, yeah, that's enough.
And I don't understand why.
That would be enough. Okay. And have you, I'm sure you've heard the... Sounds crazy, but I'm interested in these speculations. The speculation regarding Ken Lay, i.e., why do you suppose he had such a fast autopsy, and why?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can only speculate at this point. I don't have any sources in Aspen who have contradicted the official line. It does appear that he died early in the morning, like between 1 and 3 a.m., and that there was some sort of a coroner, you know, initial investigation that declared that there were no signs of foul play. But, you know, I'm certainly open-minded about these issues, and we've been lied to enough that we're trained now not to believe the first line that we're told. So if anybody can bring information forward that suggests that foul play may have been involved, that maybe he took his own life or something we haven't suspected, I'd like to know about it.
Well, I heard even beyond that that maybe he really was
dispatched
to escape. No. He took off.
Oh, you think that the death has been faked so he can go live on
the
rest?
Well, I don't think it, but I heard really bizarre comments. I don't think it, but
yeah.
I think anything's possible. He really was in the high school days in I've forgotten the name of the town in Texas now. But he and Bush were bosom buddies.
Oh, yeah.
Very good friends for all of their lives from that time on, from high school on. And I think there's a very strong tie, although the White House, in a hypocritical way, said Kenley is an acquaintance.
Right.
He's much more than an acquaintance.
Yes, he certainly was, and we know that. And, in fact, Jason Leopold, who was on with us talking about Kenley yesterday, referred to some of the documents. There's a real juicy one that's probably available if you Google it on the Internet. But it was a birthday greeting that Governor Bush sent to Kenny Boy in the 1990s. And it was just loaded with, there was a joke in there that, you know, made it clear that they knew each other. And, you know, it was full of warm and fuzzies. And so it seems really unnecessary at this point, particularly since he's dead, for the president to pretend that he was just an acquaintance.
Well, that's what why they're such hypocrites. They'll lie about anything.
Pathological liars are compelled to lie. You're right.
Okay.
It could
bye-bye.
Be consistent with that. Thank you, Millie. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Coming up next, more of your calls. 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. Email? Sure. Peter at peterbcollins.com. I'll be happy to receive your missive. 45 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. KRXA 540 cares about your commute problems. It's 548, and Pat McAllister is going to help you navigate.
Here are the trouble zones. This update brought to you by Shell Made to Move. Making plans for the weekend? We'll stop by Shell. All of their gasolines not only surpass government standards, they meet top automakers' highest standards. Shell Made to Move. You'll be moving with the exception of the Salinas City streets, Davis at West Blanco. Two-car crash there. Just talk with the Monterey PD, and all is quiet on the western front. Some good news for the Capitola Drive. Highway 1, southbound, we had that crash at 41st Avenue. It's now completely to the shoulder. And you've got to just have a little bit of a tragic, heartfelt feeling for what happened yesterday. I think I just alluded to this last night. Menlo Park, Highway 101. It was a drag racing 18-year-old in her Mustang. She collided with a car that carried the royal prince and wife from Tonga. Both of them dead last night. The prince was visiting on a democratic reform mission, so it is truly, truly a sad note. I'm Pat McAllister. Traffic on KRXA 540.
Go ahead.
All right, we'll go ahead. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, Free Speech Zone, taking your calls, 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. Coming up, we're going to talk with Marianne in Pacific Grove, who's going to complete the story she started yesterday at this very same time. So if you happen to be listening and we're hung up on the cliffhanger, we're going to get the full story in just a moment. But we like to take calls in the order that people check in with us, like Audrey and Marina. You're next here on the PBC show.
Yes, Peter. I'm just calling. I'd like to kind of get your idea a little bit on in regards to the topic that you were talking about a little earlier, in which the Democratic senators are endorsing Lieberman. And I'm just kind of concerned because Lieberman doesn't seem like really a viable candidate, and I'm wondering about an ideal that I've heard that the Democrats really maybe are not interested in actually winning the presidency at this time, because right now it may put them in a light in which they don't really have to kind of take any responsibility, so they don't take any heat from a lot of the complaints that are coming up, and it kind of keeps in the dark some of their kind of wrongdoings and things that they're not living up to as they profess to be doing as well.
Well, Audrey, you're not dreaming. There have been people who've laid out theories like that the Democrats truly don't want to take control during the midterm elections this year because they fear that they'll be saddled with all of the bonehead moves of the Bush administration, and they won't be able to dig their way out of it, and then voters will blame them. I don't buy it, though, because, you know, the politicians I know fight hard for every election, and they don't take a pass on one hoping for some long-term advantage. I know that Nancy Pelosi wants to become Speaker of the House in both the best and the worst possible ways. And I don't believe that she's pulling punches, telling her cohorts to select weak candidates to back incumbents who are likely to fail, because the record is so stark about, how the minority party has been treated, how they've been marginalized, and how the Republicans have just bulldozed them at nearly every turn. So, frankly, I don't buy into that, but I have heard it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Audrey, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Now to Marianne in Pacific Grove. We're going to take care of that cliffhanger from yesterday.
Should have set it to music.
All right, well, what kind of music would you like?
I'll think about it. Anyway, a shout-out to Benny. I've learned a new word, kosemic.
Uh-huh.
Means the same in Hebrew as it does in Arabic. It's filthy.
Okay. Well, then, if I get fined by the FCC, can we pay in some Arabic currency?
Yeah, right. Okay.
Rials or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I wanted to tell you, last week's June 26th New Yorker had a review of a new book about Tim Leary, whom mm-hmm. I did meet on an interesting trip around the country in 1965. And before we went to Washington, we stopped off at Millbrook, where he was holding court.
Mm-hmm.
And just another Jim Jones, in my opinion. You know, same thing. There were two
things. And describe what you mean there, because Jim Jones wasn't dispensing LSD.
He may have, I don't know. But it was the Mr. Charisma thing. You mm-hmm. run into these people, and they are, and they will have a conversation with you where you're the center of the universe, absolutely. And that sucks most people in. Unfortunately, we were there 5 days. We were not using anything because we were on a business trip. But the person I was traveling with, my ex-husband at the time, mm-hmm. very well-known physician, and one of the top so-called researchers in LSD, and everybody wanted to meet him.
Mm.
And so one of the things we did, he was also supplying Leary with LSD in Mexico, and they were all down there getting high
mm-hmm.
before he met me. We went on to New York City and then down to Washington, and we had been invited over to this gentleman's house. And we were there so this man and his wife, who both worked for the government, could pick the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And things kept coming out, and I do quote my husband at the time. He said, these people work for an agency in the government that does nothing but explore phenomena.
Right. Well, there was a whole project, MK Ultra.
Plenty of them. Yeah, he was involved in that.
Yeah.
And
MK Ultra, from what I understand, was based on the peninsula in either at SRI, the Stanford Research Institute,
mm-hmm.
or a nearby facility. Is that consistent with your recollection?
Yeah. The man I was married to was the head of the mental health services of San Mateo County at the time.
Okay.
And he was a better politician than a doctor.
Hmm.
His reasons for becoming a doctor were ghastly, but he was a very good politician, and he had an associate professorship at Stanford without ever holding a class, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But I got the impression that these people were very interested in what they could do to other people and not get caught. And you think about all of the assassination attempts on Castro, which was, they were bungled.
Yes.
And they didn't want another bungle. And then the one in Russia, Georgi, what's his name, who got an umbrella stuck in his leg and died.
Oh, I know who you mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff. They did not want anything traceable, and that's why we were invited around so much to, you know, essentially, what can we do to people and not get caught? And then Ken Day, you know, the article in the 26th New Yorker is worth reading. I don't think the book it's reviewing is worth reading, but the article's good enough. There, one thing they did leave out, which I thought was kind of funny, the Millbrook estate, which was 25 acres, old New York money.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was Billy Hitchcock who set that up. That was Mellon Land.
The Mellon Bank fortune from Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation with Dick Alpert, who was Leary's running partner, and I said, aren't you people a little bit afraid of being busted? And he said, you don't get busted on Mellon Land.
Oh.
You know, end quote.
Marianne, just a minute remaining, so go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I do believe that Ken Lay was got to. I think he was promised that there would be a double who would be taken off to prison and would die there. I really do believe that. I've seen enough doubles. Do you remember Gerald Ford had one?
Mm-hmm.
He'd been shot at so much that the first guy out of the car always was an absolute twin of his. I think Ken Lay was promised a double. And just before he died, he was told he was going to have to fork over $45 million. I forget for what, but
restitution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my opinion is he was going to talk, really talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to go.
Well, I can only say that that's interesting speculation.
Yep.
And I think we will watch this, and it may take a week, it may take years, but, you know, the truth usually does come out. And at this point, I don't have any deep suspicions about Ken Lay because I don't know that he was particularly valuable. But your point is that he certainly knew a lot about Bush. He was part of Cheney's energy task force. So he certainly could have done things to shame or blackmail the administration.
He also may
have been waiting for a pardon. But we're going to have to sit back and watch this one. Marianne, I appreciate your story today.
Okay.
Nice to talk with you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. I'm Peter B.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A Japanese newspaper says U.S. and Japanese military analysts believe the long-range missile launched by North Korea was aimed at the waters near Hawaii. It barely got off the ground before it had trouble and fell apart. And Daryl Kimball of the Arms Control Association doubts the Japanese report.
It would be imprudent to jump to specific conclusions about its capabilities and North Korea's intentions from the scant amount of information that we do have at this stage.
Homeland Security expert Randall Larson says there's absolutely zero reason for anyone in Hawaii, Alaska, or on the West Coast to be concerned, but
if the report is correct that the long-range missile was actually aimed in the vicinity of Hawaii, I don't think it could have reached there. That would have been a pretty strong message for the North Koreans to be sending, almost taunting the U.S.
The Bush administration's pushing for U.N. sanctions to punish North Korea. So far, China and Russia are resisting. Florida Supreme Court today threw out a massive jury award against cigarette makers.
This is a big win for big tobacco.
University of California professor Stanton Glantz is an anti-tobacco crusader. He's disappointed by the ruling. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has background.
The $145 billion verdict was the largest award ever by an American jury. Many industry insiders warned it would bankrupt cigarette makers. The ruling could clear the way for Altria Group, parent of industry leader Philip Morris, to spin off its lucrative Kraft Foods business.
Altria stock rose 6% today. Other cigarette makers also saw gains on Wall Street. Supporters of same-sex marriage suffered two setbacks today. New York's highest court ruled that state law only allows marriage between a man and a woman. It would take the legislature to change that. And the Georgia Supreme Court reinstated a constitutional amendment approved by the voters 2 years ago, which explicitly bans gay marriage. New insights into the Columbine High School massacre. Reporter John Hall has details of documents released today more than 7 years after two teenagers went on their rampage.
946 pages of journal entries, notes, school papers, and to-do lists. The Jefferson County Sheriff has released the Columbine documents seized from the homes of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. The pages include chilling stories and poems about death, executions,